Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. You're tuned into Life is a Sacred Journey. Every week, we bring a new perspective to aging and caregiving. Here is your host, Michelle Pope.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are joining us in the virtual neighborhood or living room or office of Life is a Sacred Journey. My name is Michelle Pope. I am your host, and it's always my honor and privilege to be with you. Thank you for opening your doors and letting me in, or your window, or however, or if I'm joining you on your patio or around your kitchen table. I thank you so much for allowing me to share my ponderings every other week with you, and also bringing people from our community that are making life a sacred journey, not only for themselves, but for others. And so thank you so much. You know, I was thinking this morning before we went live and when I was home, I was thinking about all the people who have walked with me over these past years, meaning years. And I thought about Stuart Furman and his wife, and, you know, so happens he was one of the first people to join us live on Facebook Live this morning. Please don't forget to hit that share button and tell other people and get our reach bigger and bigger and bigger, and I really appreciate you for that. But Stuart was one of the folks that said yes to coming on Life is a Sacred Journey when we were just a pod. I hate that terminology because it sounds like it demeans it to, in my head. But anyway, when we were just doing a podcast. And then, I mean, he graciously came, and then he and his wife, and he was our keynote speaker at one of our events, and you know, he has just been a really dear friend. And you know, I was thinking about that this morning, and people like Sandy Blazer and all of you, to Sister T, and, you know, Carolyn Brent, who has become a dear queen sister to me, and, you know, just all of you. I could say all of your names, and I would miss few of you, but please don't know, just know that just because I didn't say it, that it doesn't mean that you hold a warm space in my heart. And so just thank you, thank you, thank you. And please bear with me one moment. I have to send a big shout out to my cousin, Pope Gerard, who lives in South Africa. He celebrated his birthday. I won't say which one, but he's 10 years younger than me, so that'll help you. And I just love him. I love him. I love my family. First of all, I have the greatest family in the whole wide world, both on my mama's side and my papa's side. So the Popes and the Bashirs, they are my rocks. But I want to just say, you know, to my cousin, who has always walked with me, who showed up at my door when I got a divorce because he was worried about me and what was going to be happening in my life, and there he was. And so Pope Gerard, he's an actor, he's a model, he lives in South Africa, he is beautiful to look at, but he's also beautiful inside. So happy birthday, cuz, you mean the world to me, and I can't wait to see you, wrap my arms around you, and show you how much I care about you, but you already know. Happy birthday. All right. So I've been pondering a lot of things. Oh, my gosh, so many things, because I've been having so many conversations, wonderful conversations with incredible people from around California about the COVID, about the vaccine. And I really, really, in a conversation that I had with Sandy Blazer a couple of weeks ago, I realized we don't really understand this vaccine. And so I really want you to listen up this morning. I'm going to give you a place to go that's on the CDC, because I think some of us are thinking because we have the vaccine, we now can just go out into the world and live, you know, go back to that whatever normal thing was for you or for me or whatever. And no, it doesn't really mean that. And so I found this. I'm going to turn it around. It's on cdc.gov/COR coronavirus, okay? And I'm going to go over this for you. It's choosing safer activities. And then it has on one, oh, wrong. It's funny. I got to get used to the mirror thing. people who are vaccinated, fully vaccinated, what they can do on the on this side. Don't you love it? Don't you love it? I'm so nutso. But anyway, and this is the side over here that shows you that what you can't do without vaccination. So I got that online, and I'm going to put it up in the bathroom here at ASEB so that our staff will know. But I'm going to share that with you this morning because I really, really think we need to understand what being fully vaccinated people can do with what unvaccinated people cannot do, and then how do we coexist together until everybody is fully vaccinated. So that's one thing that I am going to talk about. I'm going to shout out about a thing that's happening that I learned about yesterday and actually something that's going to affect ASAB. Will employers be able to mandate that their employees are vaccinated before they come back to work? You know, civil liberties and all of this, you know, are coming into that dialogue and conversation. So I did get an article on that, and, you know, Stuart Furman is might know more, and he may put something in the chat. But, you know, will employers be mandated, or can they mandate that employees have the COVID vaccine before they return to work? And again, we'll talk about that a little bit. I am not attorney or a JD or anything like that, but I've been studying that for a minute, and I know the argument is my civil rights, you know, but there's things in the law about the common good. And so will the vaccine become something that is about the common good? Just like when I came here, I had to have a TB a shot, or you know, I had to show a TB clearance, you know. So will going into the future, COVID vaccines become a part of employment practices? Yesterday, I'm going to tell you a funny story about yesterday. And yeah, you know, so those are the kinds of things I want to share with you this morning. And then, of course, you know, I have a pondering for the heart and for the soul for you to take into your weekend. So welcome. You have joined us on Life is a Sacred Journey. You are welcome in this space if you're a kind, loving person. You are welcome in this space if you're looking for kindness and love. And so Life is a Sacred Journey is a place where we talk about caregiving, we talk about the life, we talk about everything. And please hit the share button, go to YouTube, go to whatever, share, hit, and all of that. All right, so let's get into our conversation today. So choosing safer activities. If you are fully vaccinated, it says you can do the current activities outdoors. So I'm going to go over those for you. You can walk, run, wheelchair roll, all bike outdoors with members of your household. So if you're fully vaccinated, you can do that. You can attend a small gathering outdoors with fully vaccinated family and friends. And I'm going a little step further. They had to have been in my social bubble for a minute. Like, you know, my social bubble has not grown since 2020. So except in person, I mean. So attend a small outdoor gathering with fully vaccinated friends and family. So the 4th of July might be possible if all your friends and family are vaccinated. Attend, a small outdoor gathering with fully vaccinated and unvaccinated people. So if you're fully vaccinated, you can be with fully vaccinated and unvaccinated people in a small gathering, but I would still wear my mask if I knew the people were unvaccinated, because if I am carrying COVID at that time, that means I can pass it on to them, right? So I like that idea, but I think that people who are vaccinated, then if they're unvaccinated people in that gathering, you're going to have to wear a mask just to protect them, okay? Dine at an outdoor restaurant with friends from multiple households. So, you know, if you can dine outdoors with people who are vaccinated, not vaccinated, they can come out of your social bubble and they can be, because you're outside. And we're learning that the being outdoors is really a deterrent to passing the virus. So you can do that. Attend a crowded outdoor event like a live performance, parade, or sports event. And on that one, the little green person or the little person in the green square has a mask on, even the fully vaccinated person. So up to everything that I read up to that point, walk, run, all bike outdoors with members of your household, you don't have to wear a mask if you're fully vaccinated. Attend a small outdoor gathering with fully vaccinated family and friends, you don't have to wear a mask if you're fully vaccinated. Attend a small outdoor gathering with fully vaccinated and unvaccinated people, you still don't have to wear a mask. And dine at an outdoor restaurant with friends with multiple households. If you're fully vaccinated, you still don't have to wear a mask. The one place in this outdoors that you do, that they say, is when you attend a crowded outdoor event like a live performance, parade, or sports event, they want you to wear a mask, even if you have been vaccinated. Okay? So we finished the outdoor piece. Now, I'm going to read the indoor piece, but I'm going to tell you right now, fully vaccinated people indoors, all these people in the green, they have on their mask. See that? All these people have on their mask. So from here all the way down, you're wearing a mask. All right? So indoors, if you visit a barber or a hair salon, wear your mask. If you go to an uncrowded indoor shopping center or museum, wear your mask. This is for fully vaccinated. I'll do unvaccinated in a minute. Fully vaccinated. If you ride public transportation with limited occupancy, wear your mask. So if you're going on BART, going on a bus, wear your mask. Attend a small indoor gathering or of fully vaccinated and unvaccinated people from multiple households, wear your mask. Go to an indoor movie theater, wear your mask. Attend a full capacity worship service. Here we go. You hearing me, my folks out there who have asked me, when are we going to open up the churches? Here's your answer. Attend a full capacity worship service, even if you're fully vaccinated. You got to wear a mask. You got to wear a mask. Okay, sign in and singing in an indoor chorus. Got to wear a mask. There's the answer. Eat at an indoor restaurant or bar. Wear a mask and participate in an indoor high-intensity exercise class. Wear a mask. So there's a lot. Even if you're fully vaccinated, wear a mask is going to be mandatory for you for a while longer. So let's go to the unvaccinated side of the grid. And again, you can find this on cdc.gov coronavirus, okay? So unvaccinated folks, you can, everything outdoors, you have to wear a mask. Unless you're attending a small outdoor gathering with fully vaccinated people and you're the only person that is unvaccinated in that gathering, then you do not have to wear a mask. You're safe, they say. Okay? It shows you right here. I don't know if you can see it. That attending a small outdoor gathering, fully vaccinated, family and friends, you don't have to wear a mask. See it right there? And walking and running outdoors with members of your household or alone, boom, you don't have to wear a mask. But everything else, you have to wear a mask. Everything else. Okay? So singing, eating outdoors, participating in any indoor things, everything that visiting the barbershop, everything that people who are vaccinated have to wear masks for, unvaccinated people have to wear masks for, but you add two more things to the category when you're not vaccinated, and those things are dining at an outdoor restaurant with friends from multiple households and attending a small outdoor gathering with fully vaccinated and unvaccinated people, Okay? So this is a great, we're going to send this out in our activity kits next week for families so that they understand, and again, some of the protocols that we're going to have to write around that as we begin to open our programs more in the month of June. It looks like the state of California in the month of June has the governor announced that we can get back to, I don't know if I want to say that anymore. I don't like saying I'm getting back to normal because I was already normal, but I don't want to go back to the world that we had before COVID-19 came because we were living in not talking about the things that were dividing us and keeping us apart. I want us to continue these courageous conversations that sometimes I walk away with, feeling angry, feeling crying. The other day I was in a conversation and I just cried in the car for like 10 minutes before I was able to drive because I was hearing about the pain of our Asian brothers and sisters, and it opened up wounds for me. And then I was a part of another discussion where there are people who live in poverty that are not minorities or people that you normally talk about. And I just was feeling the despair of our earth and the despair of our humanity. And my new mantra became that those 3 days, I love humanity, but I'm getting tired of people. And that was because some of the bureaucratic people that were a part of these discussions kept talking about cutting services. And I am so tired of that conversation. I'm just saying, I don't know how we can even sit down and talk about cutting anything that has to do with the quality of life and people sustaining life, nutrition programs, transportation programs, Medi-Cal, Medicaid. I mean, I don't get it. We end up spending more money caring for them because these folks that are in these oppressed situations, we spend more money when they get sick. We spend more money when they become homeless. I mean, I even found out how many people were evicted during the supposed moratorium, that there were people out there who didn't feel like the moratorium was that they had to do anything about it, and they evicted people. And I just, I cried. I just had to cry. We had the opportunity as the Senior Service Coalition of Alameda County, and then the Contra Costa Coalition joined us as a coalition CCT group. And the reality is, I talked about the intersection. We keep siloing. When I look at my household budget, and yes, I keep a budget. I did the Dave Ramsey's financial peace program, and I've been financially at peace since then. Thank you. But I have a budget, and yes, there's lines in the budget, but the silo that my household budget lives in, there's nothing that my income talks to all of it. It doesn't say, oh, well, today we're not going to talk to the water company because we don't feel like talking about water. Water's fine. Please, no. So we've got to really, I would love for all of us, and including myself, I'm not perfect. These are just ponderings. These are the things that I think about because I read so much. I watch too many documentaries. I was watching three of them last night, and I thought, Michelle, this is way too much information to go to bed on. But anyway, the reality is we all have to think differently. Every day I try to look at something differently, and I try to look at myself and say, okay, but Michelle, how are you manifesting that in the world? I don't look out and try to blame people around me. I did. There was a time that I did. I even blamed my parents for some stuff. And I realized, no, they didn't have a dime in that quarter. Girlfriend, you made a choice. You made the choice to do this or that or whatever, and these are the consequences, good, bad, or other. And then I start looking at consequences, unless they were really ugly things, but even then, looked at them for what do you need to learn? What is the thing that made you make that choice? And of course, I paid for counseling and and life coaches. I've done all that. I do a vision board. So, I mean, yeah, I'm doing my work. But at the end of the day, you have to look within before you can look out and see what is creating some of this stuff. And, you know, I had to break my own heart. You know, there's a few of you who have joined us this morning. I know Sandy knows this. There were times that I cried so hard, I was on my hands and knees. I couldn't even pick my head up off the floor. And people came because they called. The universe made them call me, and when I picked up the phone, they knew something was wrong because I was never a person to say I need help, because I was raised where you don't go out and get help from anybody. You suffer through in silence, and it's a very that's something that affects a lot of people in our communities and in the world, where we suffer in silence because we're afraid people are going to think we're weak. We're afraid that, you know, people are going to change around us. They're going to judge us because they think that, you know, I think about judgment a lot, particularly because I'm on this platform, and I want to make sure that I don't do or say anything, first of all, that would hurt my children. That's the first thing, most important thing. Then my family. Secondly, important thing, right? I don't want to do anything or say anything that would hurt them and their futures and the trajectories of their lives. But my children and my family know that I am who I am, and they love me for who I am. So they know I will never go too far. I don't tell you in the public forum things that are private to our family. But what I will tell you is that we have those honest, down dirty conversations about a lot of things. And because we do that, I always feel like if God would take me today, I've said everything that I need to say to my family and to my children and to my friends. I say I love you more than they probably want to hear. I know that as I try to press on to the freedom of my spirit, I have to always say thank you to people because I want them to know. Like somebody said to me, Michelle, you don't have to thank me. Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. Because thank you has become, those two words, a thing, they don't mean anything in sometimes in the real world, right? When we go out, people say thank you, but they don't even look at you when they're saying thank you. You know, so we got to walk more softly in the lives of each other, and that's why I'm trying, this forum is so important to me now, that I bear my truth to you in a way, like Javon was on last week, Wilkes, they had their youth summit this last week, and I hear from a distance it was a success, so I am so happy for them. But again, the work of a young man who struggled in his youth, he struggled in his early manhood, and made a choice to be the change he wanted to see on this planet. And now he's helping the youth, you know, in California, you know, find places to thrive and to be mentored and to get out of the system so that they will never experience what they experienced in the first half of their life if they move forward to hopefully a wonderful winter season like I'm in now. I pondered poverty and how poverty hurts people. That's going to make me cry again. Poverty hurts people. When you live in poverty, education isn't anything that you can even think of because you're hungry. When you go to school and you couldn't sleep last night, because there's all kind of mayhem going on outside your house or even in your house, because poverty creates anger, division. There's no love in poverty. And even if it is, even if you're loving and caring, there comes a time where you snap because you can't feed your family. If you're a man and you were raised to be a man and your family can't eat because you can't make enough money because you're only making $14 an hour. I thought about that the other day, and I know the impact of the minimum wage if we increase it. Trust me, I'm a nonprofit. I get it, and it's hard for me to cover people's insurance and health insurance and to pay them above the minimum wage and then some. Difficult. But it's the right thing to do. How can I go home to my house where I have food, where I can pay for frivolous crap and not pay people enough so that they can live? This last year has been tough on ASAP, been tough on my spirit, been tough on my soul. I'm sure you've seen it in some of the podcasts or broadcasts on Fridays, because when I can't sleep, it shows. But through the grace of you and many, many others, you've donated and foundations and people who have heard the cry for ASAP, they have donated. And every 15th and the last day of the month, we've been able to meet our payroll. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. But, we need to rethink an America where poverty has become something that is just there. It's just happening. And the hole is getting bigger and bigger, and it's so much harder. I was on a call with a lot of nonprofit social service agencies and folks. It's getting harder for us to lean our hands down and bring people up. The sinkhole is sucking the people down faster than we can get to them. And we're asking our senators of the state of California to be our champions. One by one, there are those of us as leaders that are trying to talk to them or their staff and say, be a champion for the humanity. We can't keep cutting, and everybody keeps saying to me, well, Michelle, is it, that's not the greater good. That's not the common good. I'm sorry. It's not when you cut Medi-Cal, when you even think that you should, and that you don't give the Medi-Cal system a raise for over two decades, and you go, and then, but yet your administration of those programs, I'm sure, got raises and make good money to implement policies. I'm just saying. I'm just calling it out. This is not personal, so don't take it personal, because people love to take everything personal. We're talking about systemic oppression, that we have created systems where the people that manage the systems make money, so much money, can retire, all of that, and then they make decisions to cut the very people that they're supposed to be serving. I don't know. I don't know about that. And I think they're victims too. I think they're victims of that system. So it's not personal for me. I'm not thinking even of any individual, so I need to put that out there, just because I had a conversation with a lady the other day, and we were on a panel, and the question was, is America, the systems of America, racist? And I said yes. And then she looked at me and she said, not all white people are racist. I'm like, that wasn't the question, sweetheart. And I didn't say all white people are racist, because I know, excuse me, I know that's not true. So stop pulling me down to the bottom of the conversation, because that's not where I live, and that wasn't the question. Answer the question. So we got to stop living through our feelings. If somebody doesn't say you're a racist, why do you take that mantle on? We're talking about the system that created the division, that victimizes you and me. Wow, we are so damaged. I'm damaged. I'm damaged. I'm crazy glued together. I'm so damaged. But at the end of the day, I know the difference between a system and a systematic system that creates division, that victimizes all humanity, and whether or not I'm in the room with a racist human being, black, white, purple, or green, because racist can be anything. So oh my gosh, I love the world, the humanity so much that when I say this, it's time to get out of our emotional feelings where we think that it is personal and people are talking about us, and get to the place where we can sit down together and say, how do we create a level playing field so that every human being at least has the basics? Now, if they destroy the basics and they don't want to be a CEO or get a college degree or do whatever, then that's on them. That's on them. But if it's about not even having access, then what do we do as a humanity to try to ensure that we can make this world a better place in our lifetime? Those are my ponderings. I want to talk about, lastly, I had a wonderful experience. I want to tell you a funny story. Those of you that are on Facebook already know a little bit about this, but you don't know what happened after I got inside the doors of DMV. So yesterday I went to DMV. It was supposed to be 82 degrees, so I dressed for that because I'm also in, while I'm living my winter season, I'm in my jungle season of life. I'm always hot. Not always. Actually, my hands are all, never mind. But anyway, and I get in front of the DMV, and oh my gosh, there's this gust of wind flowing through. I am freezing. So I have an earthquake kit in my trunk of my car in case the earthquake hits, which, by the way, we did have one yesterday, last night. If it hits, I have my stuff with me, okay? But I don't have a sweater or a jacket. Thank you, my wonderful sisters and brothers who said to me, you don't have a sweater or a jacket? I do now. Okay. So I had my emergency I want to say aluminum foil. It looks like aluminum foil, right? And it keeps you warm. 95% of the body heat stays next to you, and it was in my bag. And so I pull it out, and I'm out there with this thing on, and it's long. So it's flying in the wind, and so I'm wrapping myself with it like it's a shawl, okay? So I took a picture, and I shared with all of you that I love my life, because I stuck out like a sore thumb with this silver thing all around me. You know, everybody else was looking like, you know, like people look when they go to DMV. And Michelle Pope is standing there looking like an astronaut. So, but anyway, I go in the DMV, and I decided, okay, since I'm here, I'm going to get this federal ID thing. So I got my passport, I got all my stuff, and I go to DMV, and I'm ready. I got there at 7 o'clock, so I was the third person, fourth person in line. Everything was popping. And I get called up to this gentleman, and he looks at everything, and he's clicking away. And then he looks up at me. He says, you don't exist in the system. I'm like, yeah, because I got my license from here. He says, do you know your license number? I go, no, I have no desire to either. But anyway, I happen to have a copy of it on my phone because I had to use it for the highway patrolman here for an inspection that we had. And because I didn't have it, I had lost it. That's what brought me to DMV originally. For some reason, I lost my license. Okay, so he's telling me he can't find me, you guys. He's spelling every name that I have or had in the thing. And then he looks up at me and he goes, you're not in the system. The manager comes over and he clicks away, you're not in the system. Another person comes over, you're not in the system. I am mad, right? I'm like, okay, how can I not be in a system when I lost the license and I'm coming here to replace the license that was in the system Are you kidding me? All right, so they go, ma'am, you need to go back and sit down. So now I'm upset because I have another meeting. You know how I live three lives in one, so I have another meeting and I need to boo, boo, boo. Okay. Finally, a half hour later, the window two calls me. Beautiful, beautiful Indian woman, older woman, just stunning to look at. And she says, I give her the information. I said, yeah, I'm over here. They told me, you know, they couldn't find me in the system over there, and I guess you're going to call up to Sacramento to see if you can find me in the original system, blah, blah, blah. Girlfriend goes in the system, the same system that my friend on the other side and three other people were in. She goes, you're right here. I said, oh, really? I'm not dead, and this is not a nightmare or a movie. Oh, my gosh. And we both cracked up. We laughed. She set everything up for me. I got out of DMV, and I was dying. I was so hysterical that I started crying. That's how I was just filled with laughter, because DMV has never been a good experience for me. Not ever, not know how. They always mess up the spelling of my name, everything. I mean, when the man looked up at me and he said, have you ever lived in Long Beach? I'm like, no. So that's my DMV story for 2021. I hope I will not have to have one when I have to renew the doggone thing in 2023. If I do, I will be back to tell you about that. But we have come to the end of our time together this morning on Life is a Sacred Journey, and I just want to tell you how happy I am that you have joined us. I want to wish all the mothers out there an incredible Mother's Day, all the mothers, whether you were a mother who was a stepmother or you were a mother because you mentored somebody in a Sunday school class or you just smiled at a child and let them know they mattered in the world. Thank you for being a mother. And for all of us who, I know my mom is no longer with us, and I will be thinking of her on Mother's Day with a little bit of melancholy, but we're going to be doing a tribute to mothers at my church, so that'll be great. So thank you all for joining us at Life is a Sacred Journey. You matter to the universal creator, and you matter to me. And go out in the world this weekend and be the change you want to see and smile and laugh and just break out in laughter even if there's nothing around you. Just laugh because laughter cleanses your soul. Look at somebody else and say, hey, good morning, neighbor. I now know why Mr. Rogers said good morning, neighbor. I now know why. Because it's very different when you say good morning, neighbor, to somebody. That creates that little invisible connection that makes it possible for a humanity's heart to say, I see you, Sawabana, I see you, you exist. And that's what we're trying to do here at Life is a Sacred Journey, to let you know we see you and we know that you exist and we want you to have a sacred journey and one that's not filled with oppression and division. So be the change you want to see in the world. Thank you so much for joining me here at Life is a Sacred Journey. And hug yourself. Hug a neighbor. Hug a tree. Thank you, Better Place Forest. Thank you, Better Place Forest. I got my wonderful, I got to get good at this mirror stuff. I got my wonderful mask. And I think, I don't know, I got to get up to see my tree. Maybe my birthday's next week, so I may go up and see my tree on my birthday. I'll see if I can get somebody to take me there because I got to put my car in the shop. All right. Have a great weekend, everybody. Peace out.